podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Happy end of the Premier League season. Manchester United climb above Newcastle in the campaign's final week to finish third after entertaining but unpolished victories over Chelsea and then Fulham. Erik ten Hag's post-match message at Old Trafford was clear. There is one game to go. We know what we have to do. I hope they do as well. A very warm welcome to the Manchester United Weekly Podcast with me, Harry Robinson and Jack Tate. Attention will very quickly turn this week onto the first All-Manchester FA Cup final to be played at Wembley this Saturday at 3pm UK time. I can hardly bear to think about it, although at least the weather forecast looks good. Today, we won't be talking too much about the cup final. In this bite-sized start of the week episode, Jack and I will review our final two league games, consider how close United Women came to a first WSL title, and a couple of other bits and bobs. Later in the week, we'll take some more time to preview that Wembley showdown. So thank you for joining us. Let's dive straight in. Jack, two victories. United finished third, which wraps up an overwhelmingly positive Premier League campaign nicely, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the end of the season has felt strange in a lot of ways because United went through probably our worst form of the season in the course of the last month or so, especially off the back of the back-to-back defeats at Brighton and West Ham. But then actually finish a season with four victories in a row to, you know, see it out, kind of get over that wobble.
Yeah.
Admittedly, those performances, not all amazing either, but, you know, four victories, three of them at home, which has obviously been where the majority of our good form has come this season. You go back to the start of the year, we both said top four and a trophy would represent a great season. Mm-hmm. And I think even at that point, it probably looked a bit more likely that United would be on the outside looking in to end up third with one trophy in the bag and another final coming up. It's not a 10 out of 10 season. It can't be, because unless you win the league or the Champions League, but it's probably about as good as we could have hoped for.
Yeah, it is exactly matching that kind of not overly optimistic pre-season ambition. I think these two final matches summed up the progress we've had pretty accurately as well, because you mentioned getting over that bump. Ten Hag's done a brilliant job to create this incredible home record, three of those final four league games coming at home. But even overall, forgetting City and Liverpool away in particular, but results-wise, things have been excellent overall. Culture-wise, he's shifted the mood of the club entirely, and that's where he's excelled. But these final two games, like many throughout the season, performances-wise and style-wise, there's still so much room for progress. And I think it's clear that Ten Hag thinks that as well. He knows he needs better players, and that next season will probably begin to see a more clearly, or hopefully begin to see a more clearly defined Ten Hag style of play in this United team. But for this first transitional season, the aim was always going to be top four, and the trophy was kind of, you always need a trophy to have a successful United season, given the money that we have and the money that we've spent. He's done very well to get it. But yeah, results and culture-wise is where the real success has been.
So many times throughout the season, you've seen this United team display very strong resiliency. And it's a trait that we completely lost, really, over the course of last year under Ranić. It was a trait that I think we had to some degree under Solskjaer. And I think you've seen it probably more outwardly expressed, especially, I think, because of a couple of key players we've talked about throughout the season in Martinez and Casemiro, really, and Anthony to some degree, really shifting the way that United bounced back from defeats, you know, from the 6-3 to Man City, then went on a good winning run, from the 7-0 to Liverpool, bounced back with a good performance against Real Betis the following week. Same thing here with four victories after the bad performances towards the end of the season. It's been a mark of progress for sure. And I think these last couple of games sum that up nicely. As John McKenzie, who we've had on the podcast before, tweeted earlier, what Ten Hag has done quite clearly, I think, has prioritised the short term this season. I think he was right to do so, especially after the start of the year. I think now is going to be a big challenge over the next year to 18 months as the long term comes into focus a lot more. But at a club like Man United, the short term can never be too far from the horizon. And how do you balance those two things is the challenge now.
And we will talk about the cup final later in the week. And it's not to say it's irrelevant. It's the biggest match of the season. But in terms of this kind of Ten Hag's progress and success, given top four and trophies being established, it is less relevant than it might well have seemed. And that's a credit to how this season's gone. But yeah, I think the harder challenge, and this is the one that obviously Solskjaer failed, is changing this team, progressing from just short-term success into something sustainable that can get kind of higher level success, higher than top four yep. trophy. And it's such a hard challenge to do, all the while managing expectations so that after the season, because things could be a little bit less smooth next season. They've hardly been smooth this season, I'm thinking, with Ronaldo and some various other things. But you know, in terms of the football-wise, at yep. the start of this year, we predicted, or at the start of the season, we predicted kind of a few heavy defeats. We got two of those, a couple at the start of the season. But I don't think we got them in the way we thought. The one at Anfield wasn't because of our style of play. It was just
Brentford was probably the only one that was as a result of trying to play in the sort of the style that we expected.
Yeah, and then he obviously abandoned that style. So what happens next season when a full year in or 18 months in, he begins to bring that style in and maybe we get punished a bit more often, and what we predicted at the start of this year actually comes true next year. It's going to be very, very difficult.
And I think, like you said, the last few games have summed that up pretty perfectly. You know, yeah, we finished the year with four straight victories, but I mean, none of those performances were dominant, you would say. Yeah. Even the Chelsea one, obviously the scoreline is great, 4-1. But I mean, that game, obviously I wasn't on the show after the Thursday game. I couldn't get over how much that reminded me of the first game of the season in 2019 when we beat Chelsea 4-0, when Frank Lampard was manager. Yeah. And it was almost exactly the same. You know, we were under a lot of pressure in the first half. Chelsea, I think they hit the post twice in that game. They didn't hit the post this time, they had terrible finishing.
Yeah.
But even our most sort of dominant scoreline, that game easily could have gone another way, you know. And I think we've talked for many years about United living by fine margins, and I think we've widened those to some degree, especially at home this year. But I still think you want to see a baseline level of performance where United can afford to have an off day and still be beating teams 1 or 2-0. Still, now it feels like if we have an off day, we're really, really kind of living on a knife's edge.
Absolutely. These two games, I mean, it was nice to get the job done on Thursday. And you're right, it was a strange game. Our finishing was also not great. And there was a bit of bad luck. I mean, to be fair, we had a bit more bad luck against Fulham. There was, did we hit the crossbar three times across those two games?
Yeah.
Garnacho must have been frustrated, and Fernandez. But the point I was saying on Thursday's episode with Nathan, it still stands after this game as well, and stands even more. The players we want to be getting into a bit of rhythm and form before the cup final are doing exactly that. And we should probably mention Jadon Sancho, because there's been a lot of criticism of him lately, including from us. And I think the charge that he remains a soft player remains even when he's scoring and contributing to goals. But the final half, I was really glad he stayed on against Chelsea, because that final half hour he seemed to just start clicking into gear a bit, and then the performance against Fulham was good as well, and I'm delighted he got a goal. It was hardly kind of the typical goal you might expect from Sancho, so I don't want to read too much into it, but it's good he's got it.
I mean, of all of our players this season, he's probably been the one that has really struggled for form the most. There have obviously been players that have fallen out of favour under Ten Hag, like Maguire, Lindelof. But even Maguire, I mean, apart from the start of the season, when he's played, he's done okay.
He's had some shocking games.
Like Sevilla, but in general, he hasn't been terrible when he's played. I think you'd say Sancho's form has probably been worse given how much he's played. But the point is just that it's good to have him rounding into form at the right time. And I think it gives Ten Hag now a little bit of a selection decision to make ahead of the cup final, because I think, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I think assuming everyone's fit, the team would almost like definitely have been Rashford on the left, Martial up front, Anthony on the right. Seems like Anthony somehow after going off in what seemed like a really bad injury on Thursday might be fit. And if he's fit, he'll start on the right. But then given Garnacho coming back from injury and Sancho, you know, picking up his form a little bit, would Ten Hag be tempted to put Rashford up front, start either Sancho or Garnacho on the left maybe? Yeah. Yeah, that is a decision for Ten Hag to make, and it's a good one to have. And Sancho is kind of forced his hand there, because I think
the alternative way of looking at it is: do you trust Sancho to perform in a big game? No. Do you trust Garnacho's defensive work against Manchester City? No. Do you trust Anthony's fit? No. Do you trust Martial to perform? No. Do you trust Weghorst? No. So And that's probably the way I look at it.
Should we just play like a 7-3 formation then?
Yeah.
No strikers just on the pitch.
or 11 Casemiros. I think it is a concern. And this end of the season has been enjoyable and it's brilliant that we've got third. But it's so hard to tell with these games, isn't it? Because all teams, and we've seen it with Chelsea and Fulham, they might still be going for it, but that intensity does drop off towards the end of the season from everyone when
100%.
There's not something directly on the line. And the same will be true with United.
We've played all four of these games have been against teams that have nothing to play for.
Yeah.
You know, Wolves and Bournemouth were both safe by the time we played them. Chelsea and Fulham mid-table.
And we have had something to play for, but it's been fairly relaxed. It's not been so intense.
Yes.
Because we've always had kind of a few games to make sure we do it. And in the end, we didn't need anything from the final day. And so it's really hard to judge like what kind of form this United team is in, whether they're up for it. So yeah, it's concerning going into the cup final.
Everything about the cup final is concerning.
Everything's concerning. Yeah. 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 You're spot on. It's always a nice day in the season and it was a beautiful sunny day at Old Trafford on Sunday. And I think I said this on the Thursday episode after Chelsea, the reception Casemiro's getting at the moment is incredible. Not one I've seen for a player. It's just relentless kind of this noise for Casemiro. And he was absolutely buzzing with it when he was walking off the tunnel. It was nice to see Lisandro Martinez back, just coming onto the pitch in his training gear. Just nice to see him back. And you do think what could have been. I think in a couple of months or maybe at the start of next season, or if we do a full season review, we will look back at that injury against Sevilla and just think, wow, things haven't gone so badly. We're in the FA Cup final, we finished third, but could have been even better.
Yeah, it did feel like a big turning point. I mean, the end of that game in general, to be fair, not just the Martinez injury, but you know, you look at then conceding two goals. It's one of those games where you just feel, like you said, it's a what if, and we're never going to know, but it did feel like the potential for the end of this season to be really special. It's been good. I wouldn't say the last couple of months have been really special. It's felt like a slog.
Yeah.
It will be special if we go and beat City at Wembley at the weekend. But if you had a deep European run in there as well, as alongside, you know, maybe maintaining some more form with Martinez in the squad, it did feel like the end of the season had the potential to be really, really memorable. In the end, it hasn't, and Martinez's injury on its own hasn't taken the gloss off it. Just Martinez's injury leading to a bit of a loss of form and obviously getting knocked out of the Europa League has certainly taken a little bit of the shine off of things.
Yeah, a little bit, but it's been good. And as you say, you have just said, Saturday could change everything and make it immensely special.
What was the mood around the stadium when Ten Hag was making his speech after the game? Old Trafford was very, very pumped up.
Yeah, yeah. I thought the players were going to get a bit more pumped up at that as well. I think they did when they finally came towards the tunnel, but we couldn't really hear Ten Hag's speech because he got given the microphone and then a rendition of "We're on a March for Ten Hag's Army" kind of picked up and got very loud. But I think he was just trying to speak over it and carry on and kind of wait for it to die down. So he carried on speaking, but we couldn't really hear anything he was saying until he said it got quiet enough. And then he said, "But we have one game to go."
Yeah.
And then it got very loud again. But I think the players were real. Most of the ground was still there for probably 10, 15 minutes after. And then a lot still for another 10 minutes after that when the players were kind of wandering about with their families. And Jack Butland's kids were having a great time shooting into the goals. And Bruno's and Luke Shaw's as well. Some nice photos of Scott McTominay and his kid as well. And the noise just kept going. And so I think the players will have left with a full awareness of what the expectation is.
Well, I think another thing, and to be fair, I think this is something that Ten Hag deserves a lot of credit for all season. He seems to have understood a lot of managers when they go to big clubs. It seems it can take a little bit of time to sort of get used to the expectations, but also limiting like celebration and fanfare over achievements that are good and deserve praise, but ultimately are not the be-all and end-all for a massive club. And I think Ten Hag has got that right throughout the season, even in his speech after the game. You know, I think it would have been very easy in a sort of celebratory atmosphere at Old Trafford after winning the last game of the season. You know, you finish third. I think it would have been very easy in that kind of atmosphere to just be like, you know, "I'm so proud of the players. Thank you. This has been an amazing season," blah, blah, blah. And there was some of that, but I also like the fact it was very much, "There's still one game left."
Yeah.
That is ultimately what is going to define whether this season is, you know, really successful.
What I love is he just wasn't scared to say it.
Yeah.
And there's a difference, isn't there? Because it does depend who it comes from. But like you can imagine David Moyes saying that, or even Ole saying that. Would you believe them when they said, "I believe we can bring the cup back to Old Trafford"? Not really. But because of the way he's spoken all season and this, it's funny because his English has improved throughout the season. I think from our perspective, it sometimes feels like it's not natural to him, this managing of expectations. But really, it seems like it is natural. He's got a very, very good ability to keep those expectations and say the right things. And that's why when he says it against all the odds, for some reason, I think, maybe you're right. Maybe we can win it.
I think it feels like you mentioned, like say if Solskjaer had said that, I think maybe you could have believed Solskjaer, but it felt like it would have been a sort of happy-go-lucky way of winning it. You know, it'd be like, we're very together, we're united, and, you know, somehow we'll find a way to win. I think with Ten Hag, it feels much more steely and much more prepared, probably, than it has under previous United managers.
Yeah. I also thought, I mean, maybe this is all reading too much into it. It's the kind of thing that, 24-hour news channels do when the politics is getting a little bit, when it's going on a bit. But I don't know, you just get that sense when he was on the pitch and Ferguson was looking down. I don't know, you just thought, this is a guy who's kind of got his own command of this stadium that's not reliant on anyone else's legacy or history. He's imposed himself a bit here. And that's not just because of the way he looks on the Old Trafford pitch, like, that's because of what he's been doing throughout the season. So,
I think Ten Hag has, like, his power, maybe power is the wrong word, but you're right, his authority, I think, over the not only the team, but the club, feels much stronger than any other, maybe other than Mourinho, other post-Ferguson managers. But Mourinho is just a very different kind of character anyway.
Mourinho was dictator authority, whereas Ten Hag is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ten Hag is like the harsh school headmaster that ultimately would put an arm around your shoulder when you need it, but would be very harsh day to day. That's what Ten Hag feels like. But I think the reasons for that are twofold. A is just Ten Hag himself. And again, I think he deserves a lot of credit for coming in, understanding the role that he needs to play in the club. But I think also, in some ways, he's benefited from just how bad things ended last season.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, and obviously, like, it was a hindrance in the fact that we were not a very good team when he took over, and he inherited a squad with a lot of players whose confidence was absolutely on the floor. But I think in some ways it helped him kind of stamp that authority on the club really, really early on, because there was such an obvious need for change and there was such a vacuum of authority around this squad. And I think he stepped into that and he sort of benefited from just how badly things did end last season. And he's obviously taken that on himself. But I do think this was, because of how things went last season, I think there was whoever came in, there was an opportunity, I think, to create an authority and a leadership over the club that I don't think many managers have been able to put into place at United. Certainly not ones that have started in mid-season. I think it's very, very difficult to do that starting on the fly.
We need to wrap up. United Women could not win the WSL title at the weekend. Their final game was on Saturday. Managed to win against Liverpool. A good win. They got the job done that they needed to do. But unfortunately, Reading were relegated, having failed to beat Chelsea. Had they beaten Chelsea, United would have been champions. The players will be disappointed. But I think there's a general sense of pride that United pushed Chelsea so far. That wasn't the expectation to start the season. The expectation was to get top three. They've achieved that. I guess their preseason goal, the men's team preseason, was top four in a trophy. The women's was top three in a trophy. They came close, finished second, lost in the FA Cup final. Probably would have hoped to do better in the Conti Cup, where they went out of the group stages. But overall, a good season. There is, we'll talk more about this at a later date. It looks like right back Ona Batiye's maybe the star of the team. I mean, it's shared between
she's brilliant.
She's probably the best respective player in her position. I mean, she's probably the world's best
and
right
only
back.
Isn't she only like 22 as well?
Yeah.
21, like, has a lot of years. It feels like her, Russo, if United can get Russo signed to a new deal, which hopefully will happen over the summer, they feel like the kind of the cornerstones of this. And Maya Letizia.
It looks like Batiye is going to go, and we'll see what happens with Russo. But the suggestion is Batiye is going to go back to Barcelona, which isn't entirely surprising. I think the hope was that United qualify for Champions League and she stays. Yeah. Doesn't look like it will happen, and is understandable. But yeah, United have got to hope that they can keep Russo. If not, more signings. There's signings in the elite women's game. There's kind of a higher turnover than there is in the men's game at the moment. So
yeah,
it will happen. But Russo's so good and such like a poster girl.
And a lot more players moving between top clubs
as
well.
Yeah. But it'd be great to keep him. Dan Gore was named under 21's player of the year. Kobbie Mainoo, under 18's player of the year. Both very well deserved. We'll talk more about them at a future date. And we'll talk about the FA Cup final later in the week. But for now, on this bite-sized start of the week episode, thank you very much for listening, everyone, for our thoughts throughout the week. You can find Jack on Twitter
at UTDTait, T-A-I-T.
And you can find me at HarryRobinson64 and the podcast itself at UTD Weekly Pod. That's P-O-D at the end there. Thank you for listening. Have a great week. Don't get too nervous before the cup final. We'll be able to speak about it very soon. Goodbye.
Network.